ex-Muslim or Muslim leaves Islam.
I'm a big businessman. I've got lots of money.
You pretty much left Islam.
Yeah.
You became an ex-Muslim.
By this time, I'd studied Christianity. I'd studied Judaism. I'd studied Buddhism. I'd looked at... Because religion literally means to religionize or swear an allegiance to an ethos or a cult.
So be more true.
The Bible itself doesn't say anywhere, call yourself a Christian. God died for my sins, right? So God died for my sins. You're so important that God would send his son. Football is a religion. Watching telly is a religion. You know, Facebook has become a religion. Okay. So when he died on the crucified, did he actually die when he got crucified? Yes, he did. He died on the cross. Right. So if he died on the cross, who was running the world?
It says, look, well, I've heard those stories. You know, the born-again Christian or someone, he has a dream. And says Jesus came to him and all of a sudden it's emotional. So you had it's more subjective. This was for you.
They couldn't answer the question. So hang on. Can you, first of all, can you explain the Trinity from the Bible? No, they couldn't.
Here, if a person is looking for a scapegoat to get out the back door, they want to go to the clubs, they want to party, she's like, oh, the person...
This question. I've got this burning question. I'd like you to answer it. And as I did with the muftis and the maulanas and the imams, etc. If there was a system or if there was a religion that was sent by God Almighty, surely it's got to be universal, right?
So you're going through them. I mean, you're doing a smart thing. You're going through one by one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a good person, but I don't pray. That was my take. I used to say that.
You hear a lot of that. So now you're blaming the book. You're blaming the Quran.
I was exactly blaming the book.
The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. I'm with Brother Nasim here. We're in Oldham, Manchester. Very, very incredible. He's sharing his story with us. And I thought this will definitely resonate with many people who either they haven't established the prayer, they've taken the Shahada, they've made that declaration of faith that there's nothing worthy of worship except the creator of the heavens and earth. And Muhammad, just like Moses, Jesus, Abraham, he's the last and final messenger. They were the ones that preceded him. You know how it goes. But then you got to implement what comes next, the Salah. How many Muslims out there going through the rituals? They've forgotten about it. Maybe they waned off and then they thought, you know what? It's not working. And you have an incredible story. You stopped praying. And then because what happened? You saw Muslims and what was it?
Yeah. I couldn't find the practitioners of the deen. So
first you were practicing Islam.
So I was studying Islam. Yeah. I was practicing Islam.
Around how old were you?
I was, ever since I was a young kid. You know,
your parents brought you up.
7, 8 years old. Yeah, absolutely. Like, okay. Just like everybody else.
Yeah.
I was praying when I was told to pray. I was sometimes shouted at. I used to go to all the masajids and go to all the darses. And I used to be quite an active member of some youth circles as well.
Yeah.
It was great when we were doing street cleanups and exhibitions and showing people Islam. But then when I became an adult and I saw in the society that, hang on, these guys, man, they got long beards and white thobs and really beautifully well-maintained. But they're coming out of bookies. And they're coming...
Well, what's a bookie? For
a bookie. A bookie is a betting office.
Betting office. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
a gambling bin.
Gambling,
maybe a pubs.
Clubs. And I'm seeing all this and I'm thinking, well, hang on. How is it that the manual of life, the Quran al-Karim, this is the instruction manual, a revelation from God Almighty, unchanged, unadulterated. They're reading this, same manual of life, but yet the result is that they're becoming this.
Yeah, you guys understand that point he's making?
Exactly. So the... It's completely nonsensical. So for me, as an IT person, if you put in the right code, the right result comes out.
Yeah.
So if they're reading these books, but the result is really bad, and I couldn't find a single practicing Muslim who was honest, who was loyal, who knew the answers answer to the questions I had, I couldn't find a single person.
But hold on, when Muslims came into Indonesia, not with guns, swords, tanks...
Yeah.
It's because of their honesty, their virtue, their integrity. Mm. It spread. Islam spread.
Exactly.
So what are you talking about?
Exactly. But that was 1,300 years ago. It wasn't now. I couldn't find a single...
So now you're blaming the book. You're blaming the Quran.
I was exactly blaming the book. That if the result is this, of this book, it must be something in the teaching.
Uh-huh.
Right? So without saying that out loud, I left.
Now, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there. You're from Pakistan originally.
Yeah, my parents are from
Pakistan. Are from Pakistan. You're born in Britain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was born in Pakistan, but my parents were already, my dad was already here. My grandfather was already here. So technically, yes, I was effectively.
You speak British. You dream British. Yeah, you're British.
Yeah, I'm British through and through. Yeah. Well, both my grandparents fought in the British for the British Army, so I'm more British than British normal British.
There's a lot of people from that part of the world, from India, from Pakistan, and just Muslims in general, like that probably can relate to that. And then they go ahead and point the finger outward instead of looking inward, and now they did what you did. What happened next?
Subhanallah. Well, up until for quite some time, I was always blaming either the book, the religion, etc. I was a businessman. I've always been a businessman. I was a businessman at the age of 19.
Businessman making big money?
Big money. Big money. Bro, money wasn't the
problem. So maybe you came a little bit also self. You felt like you were self-sufficient, narcissistic.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't need this stuff. I need to be putting my head on the ground five times a day.
Well, subhanAllah. Possibly. So the business was doing really well.
Yeah.
Business was doing really well. I remember I was in one of my offices was in Islamabad. In Pakistan, and I had an office here, one in Karachi, etc., all over the show. Alhamdulillah, I was in Islamabad, and I'd done some research. I'd been looking and learning about the Quran again, and learning Islam again, looking at it. But by this time, I'd studied Christianity, I'd studied Judaism, I'd studied Buddhism, I'd looked at Sikhism and Hinduism, etc. I concluded that you can't become a Jew, you can't convert to Judaism, so that because that's not a religion, it's
more you got to be from your mother. Yeah, it has to be.
That's why Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, "Kome Yahud." The Christianity, you can convert to Christianity. However, there's so many denominations, and there's all this Trinity, etc., etc. So that really baffled me.
You're going through them. I mean, you're doing a smart thing. You're going through one by one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't look at Islam because I thought I knew everything about Islam.
Yeah.
Right. So how ignorant was I? Uh-huh. I was later to learn. So I'd gone through all the motions, because I thought this, if there was a system or if there was a religion that was sent by God Almighty, surely it's got to be universal, right?
Yeah.
It can't be just for the white folk or the black folk, or the Asian folk or the Indian folk. So I went through all that. I went into Christianity thinking I'm going to find this is the one, because it's the biggest in the world.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So you're still, at this time, did you abandon prayer?
Yes, yes, completely.
Okay. But you're still searching.
I'm still searching. Okay. This was around 2005, 2006. Yeah. It was all after 9/11.
Yeah.
So this was me sort of looking for God, if you like, or searching that tranquility. Mm-hmm. 2007, I remember clearly, I was uneasy. I was really anxious.
Describe that feeling. Okay, so he's feeling uneasy, and so now, but you were looking at Christianity. What happened there to not have you proceed forward with that?
So the complication there was that was God when Jesus died on the cross, was God he was God reincarnated as man. He was God on earth. He'd passed away. So I went to the representatives of the religion. I went to the priests and the reverends and the ministers, etc. And I said to them,
you went that far?
Yeah, yeah. I went to that far. I said, I've got this question. I've got this burning question. I'd like you to answer it. And as I did with the muftis and the maulanas and the imams, etc. They couldn't answer the question. So hang on. Can you explain the Trinity from the Bible? No, they couldn't. Okay, all right. So God is the Father or the Father is God? Which one is it? Who is... What's Jesus' role? A lot of people said, no, he is God. He's not God's physical begotten son. He is God, but he has transformed himself into a man and he's come onto this earth. Okay, so when he died on the crucified, did he actually die when he got crucified? Yes, he did. He died on the cross. Right, so if he died on the cross, who was running the world?
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, what's going on there with the universe?
Good questions you're asking.
So, and then the second question was that, do you really feel, because I don't forget, I'm a big businessman. I've got lots of money. And I felt I was very, very powerful, very big, etc. So I felt I could ask this question. I'm a member of the community. I have the right to know this question. So do you feel it's that you're so important? So God died for my sins, right? So God died for my sins. You're so important that God would send his son or come down reincarnated in flesh himself to this earth and die for you because you're so important? Do you really feel that you're that important? They couldn't answer that question either. So yes or no. Can't give me any tangible answer or response to that. So I left that as well and thought, right, okay, no, I don't think. I think, and then on top of that, the Bible itself. The Bible itself doesn't say anywhere, call yourself a Christian. Isa al-Islam, or Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus himself, was not Christian. If he was Christian himself and said, I am Christian, I'd like you to be Christian, then fine. But Christian, the term Christian, was a dogmatizing, demonizing term used by the Romans against the people who followed Christ.
You guys get that? It's a very important point.
Yeah. That wasn't a term that was given to the companions of Jesus by Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. He never said that. He said, I am a believer. I am one who has submitted to God Almighty. That's what he says. Have a look at it, Gospel of John. I went through all this, subhanAllah. I went through it and I was still uneasy. Very edgy, agitated.
So you went through all these religions. You went through this one we just talked about. And now you're still, you pretty much left Islam.
Yeah.
You became Islam. An ex-Muslim.
Yes.
So you're officially an ex-Muslim.
Officially, I didn't.
You left Islam. Yeah. So we could put title ex-Muslim or Muslim leaves Islam, becomes ex-Islam. Okay.
Yeah, so I hadn't actually officiated anything like that, but because I was too scared to do that, for my mother's sake. My mother used to always say to me, no, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it for yourself. I used to ask the same question to my mother. Now, my mother was the only one who actually represented any glimmer of Islam.
Ooh, the mother.
The mother.
This is deep.
Yeah, really deep.
Guys, pay attention here, because how many people are out there going through a similar situation like our brother? So many. Makes a little money, gets a little power, becomes a little arrogant, maybe some questions unanswered, they become very uneasy. Mm-hmm.
And then I was agitated. I had a lot of questions. For the Muslim imams, muftis, etc., I used to ask them the question. I said, so if I was to accept Islam, if I was to accept that, what you're saying is correct, then which denomination would I be? Would I be Sunni? Would I be Wahhabi? Would I be Brelvi, Diobandi, Naqshbandi, Sufi, Tablighi, Ahli Hadith?
You're asking the Muftis.
I asked the people. Muftis. Okay. Yeah. They couldn't answer that question. So then I said to them, okay, can you give me, what is the most profound element? I know Shahada is the number one pillar. The second pillar is Salah. Can you tell me the purpose of Salah? Can you tell me the purpose of Shahada? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the worlds, the universe, he has sent you the elements to do, the rituals or the tasks to carry out, but they also have a purpose. Nobody told me this. I asked them the question and they said, no, you just believe and you do. Because we obey Allah and we obey the messenger, khalas. We're not to ask any questions. But hang on a minute, I'd read this Quran. And the Quran saying, ask the questions. Are you not the ones who ponder? Are you not the ones who quiz? Are you not the ones who do this? Are you not the ones who do this?
Yeah, especially in today's day and age, I mean, this is what you're taught in the schools. You ask to be skeptical. Yeah. You're asking questions. You want to know. You want to get down to the bottom of things.
Absolutely.
And that's not sufficient. That doesn't ease now your mind, your heart, when someone just says, just believe.
Yeah, that's right. This is actually what I found was that this was the Christian concept.
Yeah.
That you are just to believe. You can't question. This was a Christian concept. This was alien to me. And with my IT background, everything had to fit. I'm a programmer. If the software has been programmed correctly, the software will run properly. The system, the program will run. If the program has not been programmed correctly, when the software is not running or the program is not running, you look at the code. Right? We look at the code and say the code's got an error. We don't say that, it's my fault, or it's his fault, or it's the hardware that's not accepting it. We don't say that, do we? We don't blame the creator. We're the creator. We don't blame ourselves. We say, no, let's look at the code. Relook at it. Maybe we missed something. Or the developers missed something. We never let ourselves be the blame. However, it went further. I was asking the questions like the purpose of the five pillars, the purpose of anything that we do, purpose of zakat, for instance. zakat. Every time Allah says in the Quran, Hakimu Salah wa Atu Zakat, establish your prayer and pray, pay your zakat, I want you to know, what is this zakat? And alright, it's 2.5% of the 8 categories, fine. But what's the purpose of it? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Siyam, we talk about fasting in Ramadan, He says, La'allakum tattaqoon, so that you may become, have taqwa, God conscious. Similarly, I was asking the same question about Salah. Couldn't tell me. No answer.
No answers.
Up until 2007, I was in Islamabad, in my office. And you can imagine this now. I'm in my office and we've got the window open. The window was like this behind us. My office is here. The window's open. It's got this tiny little aluminium frame. If you can think that my colleague's there, my friend, we've grown up together. And he said to me, he said, brother, it's almost time for Maghrib. I'm going to go down and pray. Come on. And like everybody else at that time, I'd said to him, I said, nah, you go on. I'll
pray for me.
Pray for me, like we generally do, right? Pray for me, or say a prayer for me as well. Yeah.
Or people will say ridiculous things. Like, you know, I'll pray when Allah calls me to pray. Or like, he sends me a special, like, He sent a book to everybody, right? But when He sends me a special certified mail, I'll come.
Or when He sends His son to come and die for me. Yeah. So I said, go and pray, brother, it's all right. Inshallah, pray for me as well, etc. And he went. And the window was open, and I heard this adhan, the call to prayer. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. As soon as I heard that, boom, I stopped. I swear by Allah, my heart missed a beat. It missed a beat, a few beats. I was absolutely stumped. Couldn't believe. By the time the brother had finished salah and he said, La ilaha illallah, his voice echoed through the whole building. It shook my wall to the core. I was crying. I was in tears. That was the call to prayer. And I ran downstairs, did my wudu, and prayed Maghrib. For the very first time in a long time. Something happened and I stayed there for 2 or 3 hours. In fact, I prayed Isha. I didn't move. And my friend was really shocked and he said to me, he said, first you don't come for prayer. Now you don't want to leave the mat. What's wrong with you?
So the anxiety, the uneasiness, all those feelings that you were telling me about, that you described, were they still there?
During that Maghrib Salah and that Isha one as well, and during the time I've sat there, everything had gone.
It's gone. I mean,
all gone.
You know, there are people. There are probably, I know in the States, over 30% of people are on painkillers, anxiety pills,
antidepressants.
Here, probably the same staggering numbers.
Yeah. 65 million antidepressants were prescribed last year alone. 65 million.
Look at that. And that's due to those feelings. Those feelings you can't get rid of. And people are going to psychiatrists, psychologists, and they're not getting rid of that feeling. But you went, you prostrate. Remember, in Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation. When you pray directly to God, to the creator. Yeah. Not to any intermediary, not anyone in the middle, no one. Just to the one who created you. That's all you did. You didn't do something strange. You weren't worshiping a cow, a calf, a stick of stone, a man, a woman, just the creator. You did that, the one God. You prostrated to the one who created you and all of creation. And that, suddenly, that all those negative feelings of anxiety, stress.
All that, my heart felt like a huge weight had been lifted. Now, whilst the brother was leading the prayer, the same brother who did the adhan, and I'm crying there, I'm in the back, and tears are running down my cheek, and I can feel my legs are trembling, and I'm thinking, hang on, what is going on here? That connection with the Almighty, that direct connection, that bond, I never ever felt that in my life, And I'd prayed before. I'd prayed behind an imam before. I'd prayed on my own before when I was a young kid. I was forced to do so, perhaps, maybe times. Maybe many times. Oh, you should do it. It's good. Nobody could tell me the purpose as to why. Anyway, as I was praying, and I felt this tremendous weight being lifted. Look, I've got all the money in the world. I've got offices in different parts of the world. I've got a wife. I've got beautiful children. I've got a house that people dream of. I've got cars that people would think £80,000, £90,000 of cars. £100,000, maybe £150,000 worth of cars. Who wouldn't want that? I was young. I was only in 2007, I'm looking at 30-ish, 33, 34, that kind of age. Come on. How many people have that kind of, you know, money or success or whatever they deem a success? And that's the other thing that we could talk about. Hanya ala salah, hanya ala falah, come towards success. Anyway, I needed to know the purpose. By this time, by Isha had finished and this weight had been lifted, I now needed to know what the purpose of salah was. Because no longer am I going to wait. And I'd asked all the muftis, I'd asked the imams, the maulanas, etc., scholars, and they all said to me, it is to attain khushu. And I'm a linguistic because I'm a IT guy. It has to be literal. And I'm sorry, but that vocabulary is all wrong because it's that is the result. Khushu, or attaining tranquility, is the result, not the purpose of salah. The purpose is something else. Anyway, I started researching. Within a couple of hours of receiving, when Allah guides, who can misguide? And when Allah doesn't guide, who can guide? SubhanAllah. I had searched this question in and out. I opened the Quran and I started researching it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come across this verse.
In the Quran.
In the Quran. The
verbatim word of the Creator, yeah, the Quran. Now you find the answer.
I find the answer. And it says, and establish, in fact, we could probably Google it now and find it. And establish your prayer in order to remember me. So now, of course, that's simple, isn't it? It sounds very simple. Establish your prayer in order to remember me. Why is Allah saying, remember me? Because he calls us. What's the opposite of remember? Forget.
Forget.
And he calls us the creature that forgets. Insan.
Insan.
Ya insan. Ya ayyuhannasu. Insan. He calls us the creature that forgets. So by nature, by default, we forget. And this salah is so that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now this connects back to when you connect this, what you're saying, to when you seek out to know the purpose of life, yes, to know why you've been, yes, created, why are you here.
Precisely.
This connects also with this, what you're searching,
yes, exactly, for. So purpose of life, purpose of... So you've got the purpose of life. Purpose of life, we're here to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that purpose of life, fine. Our objective is to attain Jannah. Or the result of that should be to attain Jannah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a few rules, a few pillars to abide by. Any system of life, any system has rules, right? You can't go through the red lights. You have to go around the roundabout this way. You can't turn left unless you indicate. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. Those are rules that you have to do to follow the system. You can't say, I'm a good British citizen, but you go through all the red lights. You never pay your parking tickets, you never pay your bills, you never pay your gas bill, your route to your community, your route to your parents, your neighbours. You can't say you're a good citizen of UK or Britain. I'm a good British citizen. Well, hang on, who gave you the definition of good British citizen? That's what you'd be asking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, I need to know the purpose. If you're going to be Muslim, verb, Muslim submitter to the system of Islam, then you need to know what the purpose is, or the purpose of the pillars or the set of rules that God Almighty sent to you. Remember, I'm very detailed because of the programming or the IT background, perhaps, you know, maybe it's too much. But the fact of the matter is we need to know these things. And that's when I started to learn. And then I went through the five pillars, the purpose of this. And I'm thinking, hang on, this is the manual of life. I'm already, I've submitted. Whether he accepts my submittance or not, I don't know. But I've submitted. Now, I've submitted to the Almighty. If this is the manual of life, and I've accepted that this is the verbatim word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, then verily everything else is in there as well. It's been defined in there. And then after that, the best practitioner, look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what my journey, how my journey began. I went through all that. I started looking at the purpose of zakat, the purpose of shahada, the purpose of siyam, the purpose of hajj. You know the purpose of shahada? Subhanallah. Look at this. The Sahaba went into a piece of land, like you mentioned earlier, Indonesia. Within 6 months, a year, these are the people who had shahada in their hearts. There was not a single household that was left that Islam had not touched. Within 6 to 8 months, a year, max. The way they dealt with people, the way they spoke to people, the way they treated people, the way they explained things to people in detail, the way they traded. There was not a single household left in their region that Islam had not entered.
Wow, that's deep.
That you think back at that time, it used to take them 2 to 3 months to travel from one country to another. Yet Islam spread from the south of France to Indonesia within 50 to 60 years because of the people who carry the shahada in their hearts. They knew the purpose of shahada. They knew the purpose of salah. They knew the purpose of zakat. They knew the purpose of hajj. They knew the purpose of all these things before they did it. They didn't just do it verbatim. Like you are told, Ati Allah, Ati Rasul, we obey Allah and obey the Rasul. Absolutely we do that. But it's not blind faith. You must look at it with a critical mind and go through it in detail. Subhanallah. When I look back and I think about Britain, and I think the mass migration started in the 50s, but the Muslims have been here for over 100 years. And we've only touched 4%, 5%, or maybe 6%. In the whole of these 100 years, we've only touched 6% of the public. We're doing something wrong. We don't know what the purpose of these things is. Mm-hmm. We define words wrong. Islam is not a religion. In fact, it's a dishonor. It's a disgrace that we can call Islam a religion.
And in Arabic, the word would be deen.
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 Deenul Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never calls it madhab. Madhab means religion or opinion or school of thought. Because religion literally means to religionize or swear an allegiance to an ethos or a cult.
So it'd be more translated the way of life.
Exactly. So religion is a set of rituals, mm-hmm, that is adhered by. That's what football is, a religion. Watching telly is a religion. You know, Facebook has become a religion. This is very, very demonizing to call Islam a religion. Islam is a system. It's a set of rules sent by the Creator to the creation in order to find peace and tranquility in this life and the next. It is a way of life. It's a complete way of life. And that's how we need to understand it. The day that we, as Muslims, the majority, 2 billion of us around the world, accept that Islam is not a religion, it's a way of life, and start practicing it, and Muslim is a verb and it's not a noun, so we can't wear the t-shirt without, it's got the t-shirt, we're Muslim, we're going to go to Jannah.
Yeah.
The day we accept that, everything will change.
It's a way of life that gives you freedom.
Freedom.
Real freedom, right?
Yeah.
From the shackles of the dunya to the vastness of what's waiting for you in Jannah. For those people that are out there concluding now, the gems that we can take from this is you didn't have mental laziness. You researched something. I mean, if someone says, look, well, I've heard those stories, you know, the born again Christian or someone, he has a dream and says, mm-hmm, Jesus came to him and all of a sudden it's emotional. So you had, it's more subjective. This was for you. You had an experience. I can't feel that. Yeah. What do you say to them?
Well, if they can't feel that, subhanallah, what can I say? Have they ever heard the Quran being recited properly? And I'm not talking about Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm Al-Din. The people who recite it 110 miles an hour and think that they're doing justice to the Quran, have they ever heard the Quran being recited? Number one. Number two, take the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and listen to what Allah is saying. Read the translation. We can't all be masters of Arabic, fine. Read the translation. What is the creator? Your creator. Don't forget, he's not just my creator. He's your creator. What is your creator saying to you in the revelation? Imagine that the revelation that is coming directly to you as an instruction. Treat the manual of life as an instruction manual. Mm-hmm. Something goes wrong in your house, refer to Allah. Refer to the manual of life. Look in there. Look at the way that the verse was translated in practice by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we want, ultimately we want success in this life, we want success in the hereafter. If we want that, then the manual of life has been sent to you. The practitioner of this manual has been sent to you. Study them in detail. Study them in detail, you will find the answers.
Yeah, being sincere, I found that when people are genuine and sincere, if a person is looking for a scapegoat to get out the back door, they want to go to the clubs, they want to party, she's like, oh, the person's like, recently there was a famous celebrity, someone who's on some of the social media, and now, if you're not fueling yourself with this deen, with this way of life daily, you're not implementing, you're just going through those rituals, but they're not helping you to become a better human being.
Yeah.
You're not internalizing. Rituals are just rituals, but these rituals, if you put the proper fuel in it, you put your heart, mind, body, and soul, they're supposed to produce an outcome. They have a purpose.
Yes, they have
a purpose. So it's not, if you're not taking the medicine, and you cannot blame the doctor. So you need to take what Allah has given us to take, implement it. But you have a lot of people, like I was saying, that someone, if you follow some of these people out there, and now recently some well-known sister, she took off her hijab, right? So now you end up copycatting her, you end up following her, because that was your teacher now. You had the wrong teacher, you were just focused on YouTube all day, on many of the music out there, you haven't empowered yourself with this deen, and then you fall over like a sack of potatoes. You invested your time in the wrong things. But what you did was, there's answers to these questions, you got the answers, you investigated, you internalized this deen, and alhamdulillah, you're here with us today. You went from being an ex-Muslim to coming back into Islam.
Yeah.
It took some effort. So concluding, you were sincere, you were genuine, and you did your homework, but you weren't looking for that back door, because if you're looking, you're playing tricks, Allah knows what's in the heart.
Of course.
So if you're looking to take that back door and escape, Allah will let you go. He don't need you.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I did used to ask rhetorical questions to the imams and the malanas and the priests, etc. In order to belittle them a little bit as well. I hold my hands up to that. That was very early on. But I genuinely wanted to know, that is there a creator? What is my purpose? I wanted to know if he has sent me some instructions to follow. So I can give you examples like good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it khair in the Quran. So what is the definition of good? So the definition of good for a human being is fluid. If we're going to write our own definitions, it's fluid definition. So 40 odd years ago, 50 years ago, they used to throw women, old women, into the River Thames in Britain. If they floated, they were witches. If they sank, it was too late for them, they're dead anyway. But they were real. Right, they were real people.
Yeah,
that's how they used to do the witch hunt. Right,
mm-hmm.
That was a good practice in them days. But that's not the definition of good in the Quran. The definition of good in the Quran is always consistent, and the definition of righteousness, the definition of salah, the definition of qiyam.
It's not changing from one culture to the next.
No, and it's universal.
Yeah.
So my point is that if there is a word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, has given to you, a word like salah, a word like zakat, a word like righteous, a word like anything else, then the only place to look for that definition is the manual itself, where God has used that word, not anywhere else. To define good, well, I'm a good person, but I don't pray. That was my take. I used to say that.
You hear a lot of that.
Yeah. I'm a good person, but I don't pray. And then we'll say, well, hang on, are you a good person? How do you know what the definition of good is? So they'll say, well, a good person is I look after my family, I feed them, and I put the bins out, I take my kids to school. But hang on a minute. That's not the definition of good. That's not the definition of good. The definition of good is you need to enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. There are two elements of being good. Yeah. So I could go on all day, but you get the gist. The element is that you need to refer back to the Creator. The manual of life, very important.
So hopefully from this story, it can resonate with many people who are struggling with a lot of the same issues. And I'll take from the gems from here and hopefully incorporate and do what he did. And inshallah, they can get some people back who have kind of drifted off. And those people who are also seeking to know purpose. How did they get here? Why are they here? Where they're going? You can also find it in this beautiful way of life. Like you found it, brother. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Thank you, guys. Also, assalamu alaikum.